Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. Today, the focus of Route 51 returns to politics as we welcome to the next hour the two Republican candidates for the 29th State Senate District, the seat currently held by Democratic Majority Leader Russ Decker of Wausau. Jimmy Boy Edming of Glen Flora is a Russ County businessman and the founder of Jimmy Boy Pizza, who ran unsuccessfully for the 29th Senate seat in 2002 and 2006. He lists as his top issues in the campaign continued high taxes, high unemployment, political scandals and corruption, also rising fuel costs and a lack of incentives for independent business owners. Pam Galloway of Wausau is a physician and surgeon and the owner of a small private medical practice, the Breast Center of Central Wisconsin. She lists as her top issues controlling taxes, creating jobs by reducing regulations and promoting education and cutting spending. She says she is 100% pro-life, believes that marriage is between one man and one woman, and is a staunch defender of the Second Amendment. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Jimmy Boy Edming and Pam Galloway will face each other in the September 14th primary. The winner of that contest will take on Russ Decker, the state Senate Majority Leader, who was first elected in 1990. We'd like to welcome our new listeners at WHWC 88.3 FM in Eau Claire and WFRW 88.7 FM River Falls for this special Route 51 broadcast. Jimmy Boy Edming and Pam Galloway are here. They are live in our Wausau studio for the next hour. And if you would like to comment on their candidacies or question them live on the air, here's the toll-free number, 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Jimmy Boy Edming, Pam Galloway, thanks so much for being with us for the next hour.
Thank you, Glenn.
Thank you.
I'm going to start with you, Jimmy Boy. Why should voters elect you?
Well, I think my past record shows that I have some stick to it. I took on Russ in two other campaigns. The first one, I took him on. Everything that I did was the last minute, slid under the wire, and I didn't do too bad. And the second campaign was one that a conservative Republican could not win. But this one, I will win. And why should you vote for me? Well, first off, I've been a lifelong resident of the 29th Senate District, except for the 5 years that I taught school at Osseo Fairchild and when I went on to college. The Edming name has been around a long time in the Glen Flora, Russ County area. My grandfather was not the first man to come to Glen Flora, but he was the first man to come here and stay here. That was in 1886. I've been a successful businessman for the last 40 years, and I want to serve the people of the 29th Senate District.
Well, tell us about your business background and why you want to run against Russ Decker for a third time.
Well, first off, I live in Glen Flora, a little town about 10, 12 miles east of Ladysmith. I'm the owner, my wife Marty and I own Edming Oil Company. It's a convenience store in Glen Flora. And we've been there for, I think, 38 or 39 years now. In about 1976, I bought my uncle's half out of Edming Manufacturing. It's a metal stamping business that makes a weaning device for cattle, and we've been running that ever since. My greatest claim to fame, like Glenn had said earlier, was Jimmy Boy Pizza. I sold that now as the original Oven Works Pizza to a guy, to Alan Lee out of Eau Claire. The pizzas are still made in my old pizza factory, the federal plant up there, and they're tearing the rubber off the wall.
Tell us about any community service you've done or community organizations that you've been involved with.
Oh, back in the in the 70s, early 80s, I was on the county board for 10 years, chaired the sheriff's committee for, I believe, 6 or 8 years. I was on the ambulance committee, was on the land and forestry, and on the zoning committee. I was on the Russ County Hospital Board for 2 years, the Oil Jobbers of Wisconsin for 2 years. So I'm not new to the political realm.
You failed in your election attempts in 2002 and 2006 against Russ Decker. Why do you think this time around it'll be different?
Well, all you have to do is just go out and do some doors and talk to some people on the street. And people are not happy with what's going on you take here in Wisconsin in the last 4 years, and this has been on Russ Decker's watch, we have lost 170,000 jobs, and we are in the hole farther, $2.5 billion. Now, that's unforgivable. You just cannot... You cannot run a business and lose that kind of money and lose that kind of people. You just, it's not possible.
Pam Galloway, same question. Why should voters elect you?
Well, I refer to myself as the fresh face in politics. I've never run for political office before. And if I am elected, I plan on only serving two terms. Both of those things really are resonating with voters. They are really fed up when I go door to door. They really say they're fed up with a career politician. My opponent, Senator Decker, if reelected, will have served 24 years, which is a generation. Many people are looking at that very skeptically and really are looking for somebody who isn't a career politician like the founders intended. And I think the founders intended for us to... for the average citizen to serve in the political realm for a brief period of time, share your good ideas, and then go back to being a private citizen.
Tell us about your background as a physician and tell us about the Breast Center of Central Wisconsin.
Okay. Well, I actually graduated from medical school in 1980, so I've been in medicine for 30 years. Initially, I was a pathologist, and then I developed an allergy to formaldehyde, so I switched to surgery back in the 90s. And then I actually lived in Ohio for a while and moved to Wisconsin. Then I worked as a general surgeon, actually. But while being a general surgeon, my focus was always on breast.
Was that in private practice, or
yes,
were you affiliated with other people?
In Ohio, I was in private practice.
Okay.
And then when I moved to Wisconsin, I worked for various different systems. Right before starting the Breast Center, I was working for ministry. And I did most of the breast surgery work at St. Mary's Hospital. Then I set up the Breast Center as an independent practice, sort of in the shadow of the two giants here in town. So that had some challenges. And then with all the changes in healthcare industry and other things going on, like the red flag rule, Medicare, Medicaid, it just became too much of an administrative burden, so I decided to throw in with one of the bigger clinics in town, and I'm working on that now.
So you closed your own private practice, and you're trying to reorganize it
right,
under the auspices of someone else, and you blame, is it the health care reform legislation that was passed?
Partly. That really does create some new administrative burdens that are really a challenge, and when it gets to the point where, you know, you kind of reach a tipping point where X amount of your time is administrative, and then X is devoted to patient care. And then with each piece of legislation that's passed, you have to learn how to incorporate that into your practice. And that really sort of was the straw that broke the camel's back.
On your webpage, you've got a column about how state legislatures need more physicians. Why do you feel that way?
Well, because I think physicians, well, for one thing, physicians are taught to think of the intended and the unintended consequences of any action. And let me give you a medical example. Many physicians give aspirin to patients, and the intended consequence of giving aspirin is to thin the blood so you're less likely to get a heart attack or a stroke. But the unintended consequence of aspirin is that people can get bleeding ulcers and need operations and possibly even die. So I think sometimes legislators don't think through the legislation that they pass. For example, Social Security, which was passed 70 years ago or 65-odd years ago, where there was a huge workforce and the retirement age was a lot lower, so there were more people to support retirees. And now you have just a handful of workers supporting the retirees. So I think that in terms of the way we're trained to think, would be a plus if we were in the legislature.
Okay. And any community service you've done or community organizations you've been involved with?
Well, as you know, I'm a huge community activist as far as Susan G. Komen for the Cure goes, and I thank you.
Yeah, we had
also,
you on this program a year ago.
Right, and I thank you for doing that, and I also thank you for interviewing Susan, I think it was just last week, about the event. So I am big into that. As you know, we just had a hugely successful race that was our big fundraiser, so we'll definitely be able to help the community as far as that goes.
That's Pam Galloway and Jimmy Boy Edming. They are running for Russ Decker for the seat that he's holding and has held for the last 20 years in the 29th State Senate District. I'm Glenn Moberg. Again, we want to hear from you. 1-800-780-9742. 1-800-780-9742. This is your chance to call up the two Republicans who are running for that Senate district and ask them what's on your mind about the political climate, about the issues that are important to you, or where they stand on education, on taxes, on all of the things that we're facing right now. 1-800-780-9742. What are the policy differences, if any, between the two of you?
Well, I don't really know all of Jimmy Boy's policies, but in conversations that we've had, we don't have a lot of disagreements that have come up. So
it's more a question of background and style?
I believe so. When you bring two Republicans together, I'm assuming that Pam is a conservative Republican. I've never really answered, asked her that. But when you bring two people together that for the most part have the same philosophy on politics, we really probably can't get into a real good fight.
Okay. That number again, if you want to call in, 1-800-780-9742. And I want to remind our listeners in Eau Claire who are usually listening to the West Side at this point in time, this is a different phone number than the one you're used to calling into for the West Side program. It's 1-800-780-9742. Jimmy Boy and Pam, a poll by the Terrence Group. Now, this is a Republican research organization, so we can take it with a little bit of a grain of salt. It was released this week showing that only 35% of the voters in the 29th district believe Russ Decker deserves to be reelected. 53% believe a new person deserves a chance. This must give you at least some sense of optimism.
Yes, it was certainly a day brightener. And it didn't come as a surprise, though, because that's really what I've been hearing at the doors, is that people do want somebody who isn't a career politician and somebody with new ideas to serve in that seat.
Yeah, you don't have to be a rocket scientist when you're out on the street. People are not happy with what's going on, the spending, and if they call this transparency, I mean, it's the tide has turned right now, and this is probably, I shouldn't say probably, this is going to be the most major election that people are ever going to vote in this September and this November.
Well, what are your specific complaints about Russ Decker and the job he's done?
Well, first off, as a Senate Majority Leader, he is the most second powerful man in the state of Wisconsin, next to the governor. And when you have power like that, you have the ability to sway different votes and different things, and put money where money should be put. It's in Russ County. We've got a horrible problem with our Russ County Memorial Nursing Home. There's a chance that we could have 50 homeless senior citizens if we don't get some help on this. And I was in today and talked with Mike Shaw, the administrator, and he's seen Russ one time, and that was years ago. Now, that's, we up in Russ County are part of this 29th Senate District, but there's 170,000 jobs that have left. It's like Harley Davidson. I mean, they're going to pull out if we don't make a change here come November. And $2.5 billion, that's a lot of money, and it's under his watch.
Pam Galloway, do you have anything to add to that?
Well, in other words, since Russ Decker is the most powerful legislator, he is responsible for the damaging pieces of legislation that have come out. And the first one that would jump into my mind would be the combined reporting law, which is a law that added taxes to companies like Harley Davidson that have out-of-state subsidiaries. And so they had a new tax burden imposed on them all of a sudden, and as a result of that had to let people go and are talking about leaving the state.
The argument about that, though, is that we can't allow these businesses to avoid paying taxes simply by registering wherever the tax burden is lowest. That hurts the budget down in Madison. It helps create this $2.5 billion shortfall that we've got.
Well, actually, if you tax anything, you get less of it. So if you raise taxes, you get fewer taxes, because if Harley Davidson leaves the state, then you won't have them to tax at all. So
you really believe that you can increase revenue by lowering taxes. That,
yes.
That makes no sense to an average person who was brought up on simple arithmetic.
Well,
if you cut something, you're going to get less of it.
The reason if you raise taxes, you get less of it is because people do things to avoid paying the taxes, like leaving the state and other things. And when
then shouldn't you be going after tax avoidance?
But I'm talking about a company leaving the state entirely. Because one thing, the number one thing that companies look at when they're thinking about locating in a state is the tax structure. And that's why other states like North Carolina and Texas are better at attracting companies. So a uniformly low tax structure would be more beneficial than raising taxes.
But if you go back, and history repeats itself, go back to about 1917, back when Henry Ford was really making Model Ts, the tax basis then got up to about 87, 89, 91%, and the country was going south. And in, I believe it was in 1921 or 22, those taxes were reversed down to about 7-8%. You've heard of the saying, the Roaring Twenties. Well, that's what that was. We had the same identical thing happen when Ronald Reagan took over. Taxes were just astronomical. He turned it around. The country took off and went the other direction.
Just to play the devil's advocate, some would say that the top marginal income tax rate in this country in the 1950s under Dwight David Eisenhower was 90%. And that was a halcyon years for the American economy. We built the interstate highway system. We rebuilt Europe with the Marshall Plan. We started the space program that put a man on the moon with a 90% income tax rate. Now, how is that possible if high taxes, as you say, are a detriment to growth?
Because government does not create jobs. Now, they can go out here and have some, you know, these polls and stuff that they just, you know, but
you don't think governments created jobs when they built the interstate highway system, all those construction jobs?
Those aren't sustainable jobs.
They're not.
What about with the moon program and NASA and all the spinoffs we had in science and technology? The government created the internet.
Thought Al Gore created the internet.
Well, I mean,
that's green. That's global warming.
What he would say is that he helped make the internet, which was created by the U.S. Army, available to more people. But you know, you can go back to the Romans. The Romans built these huge aqueducts back in 2,000 years ago. It was done by the government, and it helped turn Rome into the first city in the world with 1 million people. They built Roman roads, which are still being used.
Okay.
You know, governments have created jobs and created wealth all through human history.
But they
and I hear this from you conservatives, that governments don't create jobs. And, you know, you look around, you look at any construction job, you look at the people who are working on this building that's going up right next to us, the Center for Civic Engagement, which was paid for by the government. Governments create jobs all the time, don't
they?
But they
don't create sustainable jobs. The sustainable jobs are created by private industry. When there's a need for something, whether it's windows, cars, paint, whatever, manufacturers create jobs that are long-lasting as opposed to the government, which the building that you just mentioned, when that building's built, the job is gone.
Tennessee Valley Authority, the dams, all the things that have been built throughout history that have helped spur economic development in these communities?
And then when the construction job is when the building is built, the job is gone.
Yeah, but the resource is still there helping other people.
Well, we're not saying that things that have been built haven't been valuable. But the point is that the government doesn't create jobs that are sustainable. And the government creates those jobs by taking the money out of the private sector. So who knows what could have been accomplished by the private sector if that money had been left in their hands.
So the argument, again, could be that the private sector really benefited from all the technological advances in the moon program and the science that went along with it.
Or the private sector could have gotten us to the moon faster.
And which came first, chicken or the egg?
Pam Galloway and Jimmy Edming, they're running for the state Senate in the 29th District as Republicans. We're going to take a quick break and then start getting to your questions next. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network.
Support for WPR comes from UMR, a United Healthcare company providing employee benefits administration, integrated health management, and pharmacy benefits administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More about UMR at umr.com.
That number number again, 1-800-780-9742. Folks, if you were online before, we had a computer glitch, and we lost the callers who were lined up, so call us back again. Let's go to we've got one caller back right now on line one. You are on Route 51 and the West Side. And I've got a funny noise going through here. So we've got a news break coming up pretty quickly, so we'll see if we can work on this as we go on. Let's talk about one stimulus project that's been kind of controversial, the idea that we should put a high-speed rail system between Madison and Milwaukee. How do each of you feel about that?
I am opposed to that, and I think you can see the results of that on the road construction and on our roads. Wisconsin, America in general, is not like Europe, where people have, we don't have the time to get on that train and take a ride. There's going to be a few people on it, but it's going to be subsidized by the government. But what we need to do is to forget about programs like that, where there's going to be just the people, the guys working on that rail, and get up here into the northern Wisconsin and into Wisconsin and get some road construction going and get some economy going.
Pam Galloway, your position on the high-speed rail.
I'm opposed to it as well. I think it's certainly not benefiting the 29th Senate District.
The idea is it's the first link in a line from Chicago to the Twin Cities, which would run through part of the 29th Senate District and help people get between those metropolitan areas, maybe even stop over in Eau Claire or Wausau and do some shopping.
I was going to take, I had to go to Moline, Illinois, and I thought, you know, this can be pretty nasty. I'm going to see what this train is all about. So I got on the internet and started looking it up. It was going to be like about a 14-hour ride from Glen Flora, and then had to drive to Tomah to get on it and then go to Chicago. You can drive both directions to Moline, Illinois in that length of time. So unless you're vacationing, got a lot of time on your hands, I don't think it's going to be a good program.
All right, we've got to take a quick break for the news. We've got callers on the line right now, John in Eagle River and Dennis in Hudson. You hang on. We'll get to your calls right after the news break. Pam Galloway and Jimmy Boy Edming running for the 29th State Senate District as Republicans. I'm Glenn Moberg. We'll be back right after this. We're back on Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network, and we would like to welcome our listeners on the west side in the Eau Claire area for this special broadcast featuring the state Senate candidates, the two Republicans working and running for the 29th State Senate District, Pam Galloway and Jimmy Boy Edming. I'm Glenn Moberg. They are with us for another half hour, and we are taking your phone calls at 1-800-780-9742. We have some callers who have been waiting patiently. Let's go to John in Eagle River. John, you're on the air with Pam Galloway and Jimmy Boy Edming.
Thank you. Interest of full disclosure, I'm a Obama supporter, a Democrat. But that being said, just to weigh in on the sustainability of government jobs, years ago in the early 70s, I was director of human services for Boulder County, Colorado, and under Ford, and then further under Carter, and then it was dismantled under Reagan, they had what's called the Public Service Jobs Employment Program. We were given a grant of $24 million a year. We created more jobs, probably a lot of nonprofit associations, organizations. 90% of those are still in business, have grown with all their own funding and their own fundraising after the government seed money ran out. So the sustainability of government jobs, it happens.
All right, John, thanks so much. Let me give our guests a chance to answer you. Pam Galloway?
Well, usually a government job doesn't last. Now, it's great that they were able to really transition it from a government job to a private sector job, because if they're funding them through grants, then it's no longer a government job.
And Jimmy Boy Edming?
Yeah, I feel the same way. I'm glad that these jobs did continue, but I would say a very, very high percentage, when the job is done, the job is done. It's hard to believe that they could still be going on that long. But I'm glad the arc is just people working then.
John, thanks so much for the phone call. We're going to move on. I want to go next to Dennis in Hudson. Dennis, you are on Route 51 and the West Side with Pam Galloway and Jimmy Boy Edming.
I just wanted to call because I've been, there's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of talk shows, but I have this feeling that people who run for public office should know something. And in this case and in this world, they should know something about economics. And there are two issues that have come up that I want to just quickly say something about. Number one, cutting taxes does not increase tax revenues or help the economy. That's according to Milton Friedman, who is a conservative economist, or was before he died, and now according to Alan Greenspan. Secondly, government creates all kinds of jobs. In fact, we probably wouldn't have any jobs without government. And I'm not talking about government jobs. I'm talking about the jobs created by the infrastructure that government provides, whether it's roads, patent protection, copyright laws, schools, public education in general, police departments, fire departments. Without government, no business could exist. And the idea that government doesn't create jobs is the most absurd thing that the Republicans keep handing to the public.
All right, Dennis, I'm going to have you leave it there. We have spent some time on this issue already, but I'll allow our guests to comment again on it.
Well, the way cutting taxes generates revenue or increases revenue is that if you cut taxes, then it makes a state or a community more attractive for a company to come to, and then they create sustainable private sector jobs. They hire people, those people spend money in the community, and that generates sustainable revenue to fill a budget deficit. So that's how cutting taxes increases revenue. It makes the community more attractive for a company to build a factory or a business person to open a business.
And Jimmy Boy?
And one thing that I've learned throughout my 38, 40 years of business is you will go where you're loved. Businesses cannot, you know, People say that you should tax the daylights out of corporations. Well, corporations don't pay the taxes. People pay the corporations the taxes, and then the taxes are paid in. It's like the studio here. If all of a sudden they had a tax rate that was costing them $45,000 a year to operate this place, Glenn or none of these guys around here would have a job, and it wouldn't be very long, and the job would be gone.
Dennis, thanks so much for the phone call. And you both say you want to cut taxes, so I'm going to ask you to be specific. How much would you cut them, and where? Would it be in the state income tax, in the sales tax, in the corporate taxes? Pam, why don't you go first?
Well, the first tax I would cut would be the combined reporting tax. That would be a great place to start. Now, as to the rest of your questions...
And again, that's the what the Democrats call the out-of-state loophole.
Right. Now, as to the other things that you asked about, it's important to remember that the state senator works with the governor, or let me back up a little bit. The governor actually proposes the budget, so and then the state legislature works on it. So it would really depend upon what the governor proposes in his budget as to how those other taxes would be addressed.
And Jimmy Boy?
Well, there's, 62 different branches of government, and you can't tell me that out of 62 branches you can't take care of some of them. One that I'm thinking of right offhand is in the oil business convenience store. We have to put in this system that says exactly what the product in the tank is doing 24 hours, 7 days a week.
So and you're talking about cutting regulations.
This is not a regulation. This is what we have to do, and we have to take a copy of that. Of those numbers and send them to Madison. And about the time they get there, a guy comes up to look at them. Now, either have it in Madison or have the guy come up here. You could probably eliminate about two floors of employees down there on doing the same thing.
And neither of you feel that necessarily we have to have spending cuts. I know that you both want spending cuts, but you'd be willing to push through tax cuts whether we had spending cuts or not.
Yes. Yes. Definitely.
Yes.
It's what... George H.W. Bush called voodoo economics.
Well, you can call it whatever you like. It works every time.
Let's go back to the phones. We have Tom in Rhinelander. Tom, you're on the air with Jimmy Boy Edming and Pam Galloway, the two Republican candidates for the 29th State Senate District.
Thank you very much. I have two questions. First, if you don't believe that government creates sustainable jobs, how do you feel about our more than a century-long tradition of having law enforcement, education, and the military run by government? And if you think that those could be done better by the private sector, please explain what you don't like about the U.S. Army. Second point is, and I know that neither of you would have the power to do anything about this if you were elected, but the doctor said that seemed to evidence some disagreement with Social Security, and I wonder if you agree that it should be privatized. And if so, how you would square such a radical move with the what used to be the conservative philosophy of gradual change?
All right, Tom, thank you. And let's take the first measure. When you say governments don't create jobs, is that a slam on the military, the firefighters, and the police officers who are employed by governments?
Well, Glenn, you know I wouldn't be slamming the military or the firefighters or policemen.
No, same here.
But that was Tom's question.
Actually, I don't think that was his question. I think that he was saying that because some of our services are provided by the government, that the government creates jobs. But not so much the U.S. military. I don't think that could be privatized, but other services can certainly be privatized. Teaching could be privatized.
Police and fire?
Potentially. I don't think it has to be.
Jimmy Boy Edming?
Well, I'll tell you what. In my private life, in Edming Oil Company for 40 years, government hasn't helped me. And I have free enterprise, private enterprise. You probably got something there. I mean, when you say that, you know, the military and the military we need, and I absolutely would not slam the military, the fire departments, or the police department, anything like that. That's kind of absurd to even assume that I would say that. But for the free enterprise system works if you leave it work. And
Tom, do you have a quick follow up?
Well, yeah, I guess I'm just stunned to hear somebody say that they would privatize education and our great tradition of the best public education system in the world, and that doesn't sound conservative to me. That sounds extremely radical.
Well, when I talk about ideas, I don't use adjectives like radical or conservative. I think it's important to ask a question and answer a question or discuss an issue rather than saying radical or conservative.
Okay, I can say it without using a verb or using a verb instead of an adjective. That sounds like a very rapid change rather than gradual change.
Well, I don't think it's true that conservatives don't believe in rapid change. When you declare a war, that's certainly a rapid change.
Tom, we're going to leave it at that. Thanks so much for the phone call. Pam Galloway, on your website, you say that in order to change state government, we have to be willing to get into an ideological battle. And you mentioned specifically socialism, which involves top-down, heavy government control, and capitalism, which is decentralized, bottom-up. Am I mischaracterizing what I read on your website?
No.
Are you saying, now you said you don't like adjectives and descriptive names, are you saying that Russ Decker and the Democratic Party are socialists?
No, I don't believe I did say that, but I think that in general the Republicans, and this is a generality, the Republicans believe in the strength of the individual and private enterprise, and the Democrats tend to embrace government, the role of government.
But you use socialism on the website. You weren't calling Democrats who embrace government socialists, or do you think they're kind of treading in that direction?
Well, only in that they tend to prefer government solutions over private enterprise.
Jimmy Boy, do you have anything to add to that?
Not really.
Now, you both want to create jobs, but the reason we've lost a lot of jobs, according to some, over the past 2 years is because we're in the deepest national recession since the Great Depression. Realistically, what can anyone do at the statewide level to spur job growth if the problem is national?
Well, we do have a background of a national recession, but there are certain things that states can do. And what the business magazines look at when they rate states as to their attractability for business, number one is the tax structure, and the second is the regulatory structure. Those are both burdens that discourage businesses from coming here. So one would be to have a uniformly low tax rate, and the other would be to decrease regulatory burdens, like making it easier for industry to be able to site a plant and not have to wait 12 to 18 months like they do now before they can start building. So it isn't just a national problem. It is a state-to-state problem, because some companies in the state moved to other states that had a better business climate.
You mentioned that Wisconsin ranks 12th in the nation for taxation and 25th in spending, and that we need to rely more on fees like tolls and tuition increases. Is that an accurate description of your position, more on specific fees rather than across-the-board tax increases?
Well, I was just making the point that we're in the middle in spending, but we're number 12 in taxation. So I think we need to look to other sources besides taxation to balance the budget. So,
would you favor things like toll roads or tuition increases to perhaps be able to keep across-the-board taxes lower?
Well, I prefer to create a better business climate so that we can generate greater tax revenue through sustainable private sector jobs.
Jimmy Boy Edming, tolls, tuition increases, alternate forms of revenue?
I don't want any increases. Pretty much bottom line. Before I would ever make an increase, I'd have to really study the situation a heck of a lot more than sitting here for 2 minutes. But getting back to your creating jobs, I got a letter from it's not the home builders, but it's the modular home builders. One of our large companies in the state of Wisconsin is filing bankruptcy. I was into American Mobile Homes in Ladysmith here a couple of weeks ago. They had sold a home up in Hayward, got the foundation set, everything was ready to go, got the house ready to set on it, because they didn't file some environmental impact statement or something. The job was on hold. Now, I believe we're trying to get so sophisticated that we're going to sophisticate ourselves right out of existence. And we've got so ungodly many rules and laws and regulations. Anything and everything you do is illegal. And we've got to get this back to where, enough is enough.
Pam Galloway, do you share those sentiments?
Well, I think I already actually said that when I referred to the regulatory burden that businesses work under. So it definitely is something that the business magazines look at when they rate Wisconsin as having, I think it's number 47 or 48th worst business climate in the country.
Pam Galloway, Jimmy Boy Edming, the two Republicans running for the 29th State Senate District. I'm Glenn Mobrick, taking your phone calls at 1-800-780-9742. Vernon Balsam Lake, hold on. We'll be taking you next right after this break.
Contributors to WPR include literacy volunteers Chippewa Valley. New tutors are being recruited and trained to help adults improve their lives through reading, writing, and speaking skills. Information on volunteering is available from Cheryl at 834-0429.
I'm Glenn Mobrick. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We are also carrying this program live on the west side, on Eau Claire, as we talk to Pam Galloway and Jimmy Boy Edming, the two Republicans running for the 29th State Senate District. 1-800-780-9742. Let's go back to the phones. Vern in Balsam Lake, you are on with Pam Galloway and Jimmy Boy Edming.
Hi, thanks for having me on. Lifelong Republican, really looking forward to this discussion. Shocked at the lack of substance that the two candidates are providing, and so I thought I'd ask a substantive question, and that would be if, had they been in the legislature a couple of years ago, whether or not they would have voted for the Great Lakes Compact, and I'll happily take my responses off the air. Thank you much.
All right. Thank you, Vern. Would you have voted for the Great Lakes Compact?
Well, he's going to think I'm going to giving another non-substantive answer because I don't know enough about that to answer.
The Great Lakes Compact, I believe, is the agreement between Michigan, Wisconsin, all the states bordering the Great Lakes, and Ontario and Quebec, the two Canadian provinces, saying basically all the governors and the individual people in the provinces have a veto over any projects that would divert water from the Great Lakes and send them to, say, Arizona or Saudi Arabia or somebody else that wants them. And it was passed by all of these jurisdictions, and it's been signed into law.
I don't believe I would have signed. I don't believe I would have voted for that.
Well, let's move on.
Actually, if Vern wants to debate or talk with me some more, he can call me, 715-570-5392.
Okay. Vern, if you'd like to discuss this with Pam Galloway, that's your number. There was a decision by a federal judge this past week which pulled the plug on embryonic stem cell research, at least the expansion that had been made by President Obama. That decision is now being appealed. There are some who are saying this is a terrible thing for Wisconsin because UW-Madison researchers have pioneered this stem cell research, and this decision by the federal judge could hurt our economic future and could hurt the high-tech jobs that might be around the corner because we're pioneering embryonic stem cell research. Jimmy Boy Edming, you're shaking your head.
I think embryonic stem cell research is wrong. You can get the same results from using the umbilical cord of a baby that's just been born. You have to think sick on some of this stuff. It may start out very innocent, and then all of a sudden it turns into abortions, and I am pro-life. I don't care who knows it, and I am against embryonic stem cell research.
Pam Galloway.
Well, I agree with Jimmy Boy. I don't support embryonic stem cell research, and I am also 100% pro-life.
And when you say 100% pro-life, does that mean you're opposed to abortions, even in the case of rape or incest?
Yes.
You would have a woman who was raped. You would force her to bear the child of her rapist.
Yes.
I think, as a society, we need to embrace life and value life over everything.
But Pam Galloway, you would force that woman to bear the child of her rapist. Your position on abortion is that black and white.
Yes.
No exceptions. Okay, let's go to Ron in Rosholt. Ron, you're on Route 51, the west side, with Jimmy Boy Edming and Pam Galloway. Ron in Rosholt, you're on the air. Hello, Ron. I think Ron has left us. Maybe we kept him waiting around a little bit too long. Russ Decker is the former president of the Bricklayers Union. Where do you guys stand on unions?
Well, if you want to look at unions, my oldest boy, John, is a journeyman electrician. My youngest boy, Bradley, is a journeyman iron worker. John went through the apprentice program, and Bradley, I believe, went through the apprentice program. They made terrific welders out of them. John is an unbelievable electrician.
Do you favor card check, which would allow people to join a union simply by signing a card?
No.
Pam Galloway, where do you stand on unions and card check?
Well, I don't have anything against unions per se, but I don't endorse the card check concept.
What will you do? One of you is going to run against Russ Decker when he takes your position on card check and says this is evidence that Pam Galloway and Jimmy Boy Edming are opposed to the working man and woman in this district.
Well,
and you know that's coming.
I know. I very much support the working man and woman, which is why I want to recreate the cycle of prosperity by making Wisconsin a more attractive place for companies to create jobs.
Jimmy Boy Edming?
Well, when you look at big business, when the paper mill, for example, would need an electrician.
You got to give me a 15-second answer here. We're down to our last 2 minutes.
Okay. Now I lost it.
Pam Galloway, anything you'd like to add?
I'm going to work very hard for victory. I think as a physician, I want to take my listening skills, my problem-solving skills to Madison to serve the community in a different way.
And Jimmy Boy Edming, you've got the last word here.
I want to take my work skills, my ability to listen, and my ability to serve to Madison. and the 29th Senate District is going to be well represented in Madison when I'm there, and I need your help, your prayers, and your support to get me there.
All right. I want to thank both of you. It's been a very interesting hour. It's gone by very quickly, and you both had to deal with some very tough questions, and
you've done it
with good humor.
Thank you.
Jimmy Boy Edming, Pam Galloway, the two Republican candidates for the 29th State Senate District. They face each other in the September 14th primary, the winner of that contest taking on State Senate Majority Leader Russ Decker in the November election. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, who is also our on-air producer today. Thanks to Dean Kallenbeck in our Eau Claire studio for bringing this special broadcast to today's audience on WHWC Eau Claire and WFRW River Falls. Thanks, as always, to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Coming up on Route 51 next Thursday, September 2nd, Stevens Point star athlete and Olympic competitor Susie Faber-Hamilton joins us to talk about her battle with depression. Then on Thursday, September 9th, the forum featuring the two Republicans for the 7th Congressional District seat, Sean Duffy and Dan Mielke. That's it for us. Thanks for riding along with us today. Until next week, we're heading out of town.